It's good to be here. It's good to be back. It really is good to be here this time.
You guys see my grandkids?
Man, that'd be cool if the next three are boys. I'm praying, brother. All right. Turn to John chapter 7. I'm going to read a couple of verses. My text is going to be in Ezekiel. I was going to read a couple of verses before we get into that text. And what I've been thinking about for a little bit is I know I'm in need of revival. I think the church is in need of revival, and not just once a year. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. We need God's power.
Amen.
You know, we need more of Him. Less of the junk, more of God.
Amen.
And it's something that it's kind of shameful thinking about it, but it's something that we tend to forget. You know, there comes a moment in time where we need Him, and we think, okay, you know, I need to get back in God. You know, that should be our thought every single day. Every single day, we need more and more of God, and it's Amen. Possible. It is definitely possible. You know, that is the only reason why we have this book in our hands and we have our faith right now is because of these people in the Bible who were sold out for Christ. I mean, you had to have been sold out for Christ. I mean, the things they did, and they weren't extraordinary guys. They were people just like you and I.
Yep.
You know, some smarter than others, probably. You know, some had a much more talent than others. I mean, that's just the way it works out. But very few leaders, you know, many, many followers. And I love following. Man, I think following is great. You know, if you just tell me what to do, I just love to do it. You know, I hate being the leader. I hate that responsibility. Let's just follow Christ and let's exalt Him. John chapter 7 in verse 38. And what I've been thinking about is this river of water. What I've been thinking about is just an overflowing of God coming out of us. And you know, if Jesus said it, then it's possible.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
It's incredible here. Chapter 7, He starts off here in verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Two things that we have to look at, and you need to zero in on this. First of all, thirst. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for a revival? Are you thirsty for God to do something with you that you can't even imagine? Are you thirsty for that? Are you thirsty for a change? Are you thirsty for God to take control of your life? Have you gotten are you in that part of your life where you're just it's just your life is monotonous, your life is the same old thing. You're waking up and you're looking for food and you're scratching your belly and then you look for a nice place to sit down and then you go to sleep and the next day it's the same thing. What a horrible life. Man, God has saved you. God has saved me. God has put us in an incredible work. He has put us in a more abundant life.
Yeah.
He has given us. He has given us life more abundantly. So something that I never, never, ever thought of. You think about somebody like Matthew sitting there counting his money. Sitting, he's just sitting there. That word, when I read that the other day, sitting, he's just sitting there. Could you imagine that? This guy had it all. This guy had a good job. You know, security, man, retirement plan. I'm sure he had it all, everything. You know, money in his pocket and just cha-king, cha-king. He's in a good spot. But you know, obviously his life wasn't worth anything to him. From a person looking at him, you're probably looking at him and you're thinking, man, he has it all. He has security. But obviously, Matthew didn't think so. How do I know that? Because when Jesus said, "Follow me," he dropped everything. Everything. I mean, he didn't turn back. He never turned back. He kept going all the way to the end. And why? Because Jesus Christ offers you something that nobody else can.
Amen. Right. Amen.
He says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now he's right here in the middle of a very important feast. All the imagery, everything that they're doing, getting the water, you know, they're pouring it on the altar and it's flowing down. Everyone's, you know, screaming or whatever. Everyone's happy. All this imagery is speaking of Christ, and he's right there, and they have no idea that he is that river of living water. And he stands up and screams it. Could you imagine that? He stands up right in the middle and say, "I am that living water." You think this is important? You think what you're doing? You're gonna wake up tomorrow and it's gonna be all forgotten until next year. Next year, you'll bring your little tabernacles. Next year, you'll do it all over again. Next year, you'll sit there and you'll remember what it used to be before, and you remember me for a little while. And once this is over, it's done. Are you tired of that? I'm tired of that. I want a revival. Amen. If we're going to keep going, if we're going to keep doing what we're doing, if this church is going to keep doing what we're doing, we need a revival.
Amen.
Not just today.
Amen.
Not just this week. But you need to look for it every single day. Look what it says in Psalms 46. Psalms 46, 4. So a great chapter. She's going to read verse 4. There is a river. There is a river. It says, "The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early." Are you ready for that help? Are you seeking for that help? Look, you have a problem. I have a problem. We all have a problem. We live in this world, and we need to get revived. We need to put our focus again. This is why I love having this mission conference every single year. That's why I like having meetings, you know, during the week and on Sunday and coming back on Sunday night. I love hearing the Word of God because I need it. I am prone. You are prone to forget some things.
Right.
Man, we need more of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
You know, there in Pueblo, we're going to, praise God, we're going to start a new work.
Amen.
We're going to start something new there in Pueblo on the north side of town. And we're going to have our meetings at 3 o'clock. That means we're going to be going to church at 10 in the morning, getting out at noon on the south side, grab a quick sandwich, and go to the next meeting at 3 o'clock. That's going to be good.
Amen.
That's going to be good. And you know what? You know what I'm hoping for? I'm hoping, I'm not going to invite them. Well, I'm not going to insist. But I'm hoping the church comes out. I'm hoping the church on the south side says, you know what? I want to help these brothers start this work. I want to go over there and also be involved in this work. Look, what else is there? Like Matt said, what else is there? This being a Christian, saved by grace, living for Christ, there's nothing better. And I'm not talking about, you know, we need to, you know, drop everything and just, you know, live up on a mountain. That's not what I'm talking about. When he's saying here about living waters, when he's saying here about rivers are going to come, are going to flow from you, he's talking about you being quenching the thirst of a world that is so thirsty. We live in a world that's a desert. It's death everywhere. They have no hope. Just like you were long time ago, just like you were. You were living, you were here without any hope. You were looking for something. You were so thirsty, you had no idea what you wanted to drink. But the minute that I tasted Jesus Christ, I have been thirsty again.
Amen.
Look what it says over there in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Verse 17. It says, when the poor and needy seek water. Is there anyone here that's poor and needy?
Mm, that's right.
And I'm not talking about, and it's not talking about wealth.
That's right.
We have much more than what we need.
Amen. True.
But let me tell you, we are poor and needy. We need more of God. You don't have enough of them. I guarantee you don't have enough of them.
Amen.
We need more. If we're gonna finish this stuff, if we're gonna finish strong, if we're gonna keep doing what we've been doing, how many years has this church been doing this? And from the very beginning, we went to a meeting, a men's meeting in Durango, and I was reminded again. I wanted to encourage the brothers over there, you know, and talking about this church it's so amazing to me how your first mission conference had no the thought of people standing up and going on the mission field was the farthest thing on Brother Little's mind. The farthest thing. All he said was like, you know what? We need to start supporting missions. I want them to know about this. And God said, man, I got other plans. Wow. Well, and then things just happened after that. I mean, not all good. You know, things just happened. And God was right there in the middle. He says here, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them.
Amen.
I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them.
Amen.
Are you thirsty for something? Are you thirsty for that water? Look, all God is saying is if you're thirsty and you've been looking and you're thirsty and you want some of that water, just come to me. I'm going to hear you. Not only will I hear you, but I will provide what you need. An amazing thing. A revival. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Look, I remember coming in here, a lost person, and on that Sunday, on the last Sunday of a mission conference, and I got saved. And I'm telling you, I was swimming in that water. I'm telling you, I was, and I swim like a rock, but that day, I was an Olympic swimmer, man. I was doing really well. I was so, so happy.
Amen.
You talk about burden just falling off, and to believe in a God that I had no idea who he was, man. The few years I've spent up here in this church, God has provided me with some great men to follow.
Amen.
You know, it blesses my heart to see Brother Steve here. He is one of my pastors, man. I thank God that I have men that I could look up to and say, you know what? I like that water that's coming out of him. I like what I'm seeing there. I want to imitate that. I want that water.
Amen.
I don't want to be dry.
Amen.
Man, I have a message to tell. This message, I want to still be used. You know, that was the one thing. That was the one thing when I was coming up here this time and I was thinking in my head, thinking, well, if I'm not going to make it, Lord, you know, okay, that's all right. You know, and I just thinking about it. But I just told the Lord, you know, I want to still be here.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing good in Mexico. I think The people that I've won to Christ are a lot better now than they were before they heard the gospel. Amen. Their lives have changed for the better. This living water that we're giving out, this living water that we're offering to a lost world, it has changed lives. The Lord says right here, and needy, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none. Have you felt that way? Have you felt like those fishermen in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus shows up and he says, throw the net out. Mm-hmm. What does Peter say? We have toiled all night. Mm-hmm. All night? Man, I'm kind of faint. Nevertheless.
Yep.
Nevertheless. Are you here tonight that way? Oh, God, I've been coming. I've been doing. I'm just so tired. I'm so needy. I'm so poor. I need you. But I just can't do it no more. Do you ever feel that way? Yeah. And God says, throw it out.
Yeah.
One more time.
Amen.
You might be here tonight and you're saying, nevertheless. Just because you said it. Just because of your word, I'm going to do it. You know, when I think about thirsting, and the question I want to pose tonight is, are you thirsty for revival? Because this is what we need. That's the only way. It's the only way that we see over there in Acts chapter 20 where Paul's talking about all he had to... All he had to undertake in his life, everything that happened to him, he says he's going not even knowing what's going to happen to him, and he's over there in Acts chapter 20. He's saying, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Why? How is that? Is he like a Superman? How in the world can... And you read the list. You read the problems. You read the heartaches. And man, it makes me tremble. Wow. You know what? If you're having one of those days where you're complaining, read the life of Paul.
Amen.
Go to Corinthians and you read all the stuff that happened to him. You know, being out in the deep, floating around for a few days, right? Not knowing what's going to happen. You know, being in perils all over the place. I tell you what, your complaining will stop really quick.
Amen.
If you start looking at, how do these people endure this? River. A river of water. That is the only way. What is this river? Over there in John chapter 7, Jesus says that river is the Holy Spirit. That is the river.
Amen.
What you have inside you. Now, sometimes we... Yeah, we quench it. Over there in Ephesians, it says that we should be filled with the Spirit, right?
Yep.
That's something that you have to do. We can't just sit there and just expect it. You have to make that decision. You have to humble yourself. You know what? In order for you to get revived, in order for you to be on fire again, in order for you to do crazy things, look, I remember surrendering to the field. I mean, I look at it right now and I'm thinking that made no sense at all. No sense at all. And you know when it became really real? I mean, at first I was out, you know, swimming. Ooh, yeah, that's good, man. All right, the Lord's calling me. You know what? It got really real? When I went back there in that little room and my pastors are there and Brother Lindell saying, we are promising you a thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He says, don't sell anything you got. Take it all to Mexico because you might need to sell it. Did I hear you correctly? Man, it's been a time.
Yeah. Amen.
And let me tell you, God has not failed me yet.
Amen.
And listen, if something happens to us when we go back, don't be mad at God. I know I won't be mad at God. right? I'll be up there with them. You know, I'll be in a good place. I'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, God has not promised you a thing, in other words, in this life, to be without any trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
How is it that God calls a man like Stephen and he preaches, from what we can tell from the scripture, a message, you know, probably not his first, but it's a very good one. So much so that it was so good and so convicting that they got him and they stoned him. Did God fail him?
No.
I look at that story a lot and I'm thinking, man, you know what? That was very needful. You know, the church was doing really good back then. They were very comfortable. You know, that happens and it put a fear in everyone.
Yep.
Not only did they have fear, but it provoked others. They said, wow, we actually have the authority to do this. We can persecute Christians and we're not going to get in trouble. We can kill them and we're not going to get in trouble. And you know what the church did? They took off. Ran for their lives. Cowards, right? No, they weren't cowards. God had a plan. The gospel prospered.
Amen.
It can't just stay in Jerusalem. There was just no way. God had a plan. Now you can look at it and say, well, how did God... Hey, you know what? I'm not going to get in the ins and outs. I just got this book and I see, oh, wow, okay. I see a possible plan that God had. Praise the Lord. If it wasn't for that, maybe you and I wouldn't have the gospel today.
Yeah.
Your heart. We need to humble ourselves. There's got to be a call to holiness. A call to holiness. You and I have to live better. You want revival? It calls for living better. You can't live the same way. You can't be doing the same stuff that you know you should be doing and expect for God to move in your life, expect revival to come in your life. It's impossible. Your heart needs to be fixed on God.
Amen.
Just like the psalmist said in Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You know, is there anything more needful today than a refreshing of the Holy Spirit? Look at the world. It is so nuts right now. Could you imagine? This is like the farthest thing in my mind 3 years ago, what we're living through. You know, like Matt said, it's great. You know, we're up here now, no masks. I mean, that's great. Down there, it's like everyone's wearing masks. And look, this thing's real. Whatever it is, whatever's happening, it's real. Whether it's engineered in some laboratory or whatever, I don't know. You know what this thing says? Pestilences. You know? I mean, things are going to happen. Look, you and I want God to come back. I want him to come back. But you know what you're saying? When you say, even so come, Lord Jesus, you know what you're saying? Things are going to get worse.
Right.
Things aren't going to get better, and then all of a sudden God's going to show up. No. The closer we get, the closer we get to God coming back, Jesus Christ coming back as King, as Savior, to take care of all this, things are going to get bad.
Yep.
All right, are we going to go through some bad stuff? Probably. You know? I don't know, at the beginning, in the middle, not at the end, but whatever it is, whatever happens, I know how this thing ends up. It's not going to hurt forever. I'm not going to be trembling forever. Oh, God's going to come, he's going to wrap this thing up.
Yep. Amen.
You know, we need a revival for our church. And sometimes we lack life, brethren. We do. Man, there has been times, haven't you been to church? And it should happen all the time. It should happen all the time. But sometimes we go to church and we go, wow, God came today. God showed up, man. You know, it seemed like it was always that way. And and maybe I felt that way because I knew absolutely nothing of the Bible when I first got saved. It seemed like every meeting, God showed up. It was like I was learning stuff, and I was thinking, man, I had never heard that before. Wow, this is so cool. Man, that was a good message. Yeah, oh, that really convicted me. Yeah, I need to change this. Maybe it was probably because I was young. I knew nothing, and everything was so new. But what happened? Now you know everything. You know, now this book is old. No, let me tell you, sometimes we get dull of hearing. We need to get back.
Amen.
Let's go to Ezekiel. I got three things to say and I'm done. Ezekiel 47. Very, very interesting passage. I'm just going to talk about three simple things here, and I'll let the scholars really fill you in on what's really going on here. But Ezekiel had a vision here. It says here in verse 1, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. And the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000 and it was a river that could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east, towards the east country, and go down into the desert, and come into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engendi even to Enagalim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Now, just three things that I want to talk about, because I think this is talking about something that we need. And that, again, I say revival. Everything, when that water comes out of that house, when that water starts flowing, and it starts at the ankles, and then it goes to the knees, and then it goes to the loins, and then it goes to the waist, so much so that you are swimming. You can't go over. You're so full of water. The first thing we have to notice is that river, Ezekiel's river, it's from above. Mm-hmm. It came from God. Something that you look at, and it's impossible. Right? You look at that and you're thinking, what's going on? Why is this happening? What is this, you know, water going through? You know what? We have to understand that it's God. It's God evidently. You can't do anything. All the planning in the world that you can do, and praise God for plans. Me and Matt have some plans. We went, we found a park. We think it's going to be a good park. I hope it's a good park. We're printing right now a bunch of tracts to flood the area, and hopefully they're not going to kick us out of that park. Hopefully it's not all in vain as far as the address. I know what we put on that track is not in vain. They're gonna read the gospel. They're gonna consider some things. Whether we continue meeting there or not, well, that's another thing. But you know what? We're gonna publish the gospel. Plans are very good. Plans are excellent. But let me tell you, we need a movement from God.
Amen.
Really, it doesn't matter where we meet. If God's in it, it doesn't matter. You know how I know that? John the Baptist goes to the desert to preach. Yep. Who in the world has a meeting in the desert? Right? That old boy, man, he was full of some river. Let me tell you, he had the words of God. It was flowing for him. It didn't matter. He goes out to the desert and he starts preaching. He starts teaching. You know what happens? The people go out to the desert.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where, really. I mean, we should have plans. I think when we have a mission conference, we need dates. You know, that's important. You know, I think when you program a revival, which we coming up in a few months probably, I'm not really too sure when, but you program revivals every year, it's good to have dates. It's good to have, you know, a time. It's good to have, you know, people lined up to come and speak, right? All that is good. But God doesn't need a day or a time for a revival. We shouldn't live that way. We shouldn't say, okay, I've done everything, all this. No. This comes from God. God alone makes our life better. God alone can make the world better. God is the only one who can make our evangelism better. He can make this church better, but we have to seek it. We have to want it. It's something that you have to say, God, I thirst for this again. I thirst for that time past where we were just bubbling here, where we were just excited to be in the house of God, where we were just looking forward to listening. What God had, what God's man had for us.
Amen.
Remember those days? Oh, let me tell you, man. It should always be that way. Do we have problems? Yes.
Yes, we have problems. But you know
what? You have problems too. We all have problems. It's so easy to point fingers. It's so easy to say, yeah, that guy. Oh, I don't want to hear him again. Oh, he's doing it. Why don't you look to yourself?
Yeah, amen,
amen.
Why don't you start that revival in your heart?
Amen.
And maybe you can contaminate. Maybe you can help out somebody else. You know, if you look. There, where he's talking about a river, and I just looked something up about rivers, which I thought was pretty interesting. You know, you can't stop a river. You know, a river has a source, right? If you look it up, and I looked it up, I'm not a smart guy, but I looked it up. The source is called headwaters, right? And when it comes out, you have other rivers that meet up with the main river, right? These are called tributaries, something like that. Little rivers, right? And then after that, all these rivers that come together, they cause something that's called river channels. And it's a unique signature that these rivers have. They just carve out sections of the land. And then it finally gets to the end, which calls a delta. And when I was reading this thing and the information about a river, and that thing that said a signature, that a peculiar signature, a cutout, what is your signature? What are you doing? What is your life? Does your life matter? Does your life matter right now? Or did God just save you for just to keep you there? I say not. I say God saved you for a purpose. And the only impediment, the only reason why you don't have a revival, the only reason why I don't have a revival is because you and I get in the way. That is the only way. God's saying, if you thirst, if you're poor, if you're needy, if you want this water that I have, if you want this river to flow out of you, just ask me.
Amen.
I will hear you and I will give it to you. The only reason why you and I can't have this is because of us. The second thing about this, the river, not only did it come out of the house, it came from God, but it also came out of the house. It says in Ezekiel 47:1, in that verse, says, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. The source was the house of God. That's where that water came from. That, you know, this, if you look at the early church, if you look at the attitudes of the early church, they were so excited about the mission.
Amen.
Excited. I mean, you have these people that lived with Christ. You had these people that saw him dead, and you have these people that saw him, rise from the dead, and he was with them for 40 days afterwards, and he sends them off. They were excited about this mission. I mean, you have 120 people waiting for the Spirit of God, waiting for Pentecost. They were there just waiting, and when it showed up, man, did it show up. I mean, you talk about an amazing thing. Peter goes out, preaches a sermon, and thousands of people get saved. How could that happen? This guy was an unlearned man. You know how? Rivers.
Amen.
Water.
Amen.
What flowed out of him was God. You know, we need to think about these. These people didn't go out given good advice.
They went out given the gospel.
The good news. That's this is the water that we need to give out. This is something that not only starts at the house of God, but it's something that we need to continually be promoting. That God not only has the answers, but God's purpose is for us to be his instruments. You know, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when the church gets to a place where they get lethargic.
Yeah. Right.
It's a sad day when the church says nothing about sending out more missionaries.
Right. Yeah. True.
You know, I work with a guy. My son. I work with Matt. And Matt uses every opportunity. He doesn't care if it's Mexican or a New Yorker or from San Antonio, whatever it is. He uses every opportunity to tell them, why don't you come to Mexico? Why don't you come help us? And he kind of throws it in really, really, really good. You know. And I see him and I hear him. I'm thinking, and sometimes I think in my head, well, at the beginning, I think in my head, why are you doing this? You know, don't do that. You know, I don't say it. I don't voice it. But I'm thinking it. And then I think to myself, why not?
Yeah, right.
Look, the best thing that he did, and I think God has called him. I think he's doing a great work down there. I'm glad. I'm so thrilled that he decided to work with me.
Amen.
Not only because I get to see my grandbabies all the time, but he's a good guy. He has a lot of zeal.
Praise the Lord.
He has a lot of gift. I see how the people respond to him. I see how the church responds to him. I'm thinking, yeah. Me working by myself, and that was a possibility. You know, before he showed up, I was thinking, okay, well, I'm going to work by myself. And I just kept thinking, I don't have enough gift to work by myself. It's going to be too hard. I mean, you know, as it is, it's kind of hard starting to work in a park. And it's only you and your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when we were in Toluca, one of the brothers that got saved, it took him a little while, but he said the first time he saw us, I was down there, I think maybe Roland was out of town, and at the time, Bill was still in Morelia, and it was just me, my wife, and Lauren, and we're out there, and I'm preaching, and he said he walked by and saw us, and he said, why is that guy yelling at his wife? And he was like, how embarrassing. And he said he felt like coming up to me and saying, you know, what are you doing? But then I guess the closer he got, he's thinking, no, wait a minute. This guy's talking about God. This guy's preaching. What is this guy doing? Just an amazing thing. It's amazing how the Lord moves and how he does things down there. But you know what? If the church grows lethargic, if we stop witnessing, if we stop encouraging the youth to go out and preach the gospel, we need to encourage our kids to do that. You know? And if God calls them to the ministry, great. Praise the Lord. I mean, this group that was up here, I think four of them are serving God in another country. Praise God for that. But we can't be a church that says, you know what? Times are a little bit different now. Yeah, I agree. Every time my daughter goes out with her kids, every time Karen goes out, I think about them taking it. Lord, take care of them. Yeah, I can. I got this little app called Life 360, and I'm watching my daughter. I'm watching my wife as they're going, you know, and I'm doing the best I can. And I'm thinking, God's saying, man, you're crazy. I got this. Yeah. And he does. He's got it all.
Amen.
But you know that if we get to that point where we're not concerned about the things that God is concerned about, I think we've denied the faith. Yeah. One more thing, and I'll end. That river steadily deepened. It steadily got deeper and deeper. And that person that was measuring, he says, hast thou seen this? Have you seen a movement of God? Amen. In your life, have you seen something happen like that?
Amen.
I mean, the best thing that brings revival to me, to my heart, is when someone gets saved.
Yep.
That's just a miracle, man.
Amen.
I mean, it's like nothing else. The girl who's staying at our house during our time up here, she was an atheist. An atheist. I knew her boyfriend at the time. He's not her boyfriend anymore, but I knew her boyfriend at the time, and he knew I was a preacher, and so he said, can we talk to you? He was living with this girl. Can we talk to you? And he wanted me basically to tell her that she needs to obey him. That's what he wanted. And, you know, they come, they talk to me, and I said, you don't got to obey this guy. You're not married to him. Get away from this guy. He's like, well, what are you doing? You know, this is not why I came here. And then I started witnessing to her. I started giving her the gospel that night. She got saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
A full-blown, well, I say full-blown, she didn't believe in God, period. She wasn't an activist or anything, but she just didn't believe in God. And she saw something. She said, what you're telling me, I haven't heard before. I'm telling you, that water that we give out, that water that comes from God, that water to a thirsty soul, it happens. It's something that we need to see. It's something that we need to see and hear. It's something that we need to be actively seeking.
Yeah, amen.
That river steadily deepened.
Mm-hmm.
How do we keep swimming in the deep end? How do we keep doing this? Because look, I want to swim in the deep end. I want to be in that part where it's above your waist. Mm-hmm. I want to be there where God's blessing is. This is where he wants us. This is the position that he wants you to be. You know, for us to be a church that gives out hope, we need to be swimming in this.
Amen.
And the answer is very simple. You got to keep close to God. We have to keep close to Christ.
Amen.
We have to be willing to leave our nets behind.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing, like that woman that brought that alabaster box.
Amen.
That sacrifice, it just broke it over Christ. We have to be like those two disciples, John and Peter. Isn't that a funny story in John chapter 20? Where they're running to the tomb. And then John, because he's the author, you know, he kind of plugs it in. I got there first. I got there first, man. But you know what I see there? There was no fighting. Peter didn't say, oh yeah, but you cheated. It doesn't matter. We were running because we wanted to see if it was true. If that Christ that we lived with for 3.5 years, if it was really real, that he was not there.
Amen.
You know, I think it's good that some people get ahead of us.
Amen.
I think it's good that some people have more accomplishments than you do.
Amen.
We can't all be winners, right? We can't all be... It doesn't work out that way. You know what happens when somebody has, at least me, when somebody has more accomplishments, more blessings, when I see God move more, you know what happens to me when I look at those videos of those churches in Mexico where they're preaching in the apartment complexes with speakers because there's no way they can reach them, so they get speakers out there. People are getting saved. They're having baptisms. I see those videos. They're doing a whole lot more than I am. But you know what? I'm not mad.
Yeah.
You know what I told God? I want that.
Amen.
I want that. Not because I want it for me. No. I want to see God. I want to see his power.
Amen.
I want to see a movement. You know, in order for us to have this revival that I think we need, we can't come to another mission conference and just expect to be tickled and just expect to just have a little bit of water, go home, and tomorrow nothing happens.
Right.
No, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rivers that run out of your belly.
Amen.
That's what I want to give you.
Amen.
The only way we can do that is we need communion with God.
Yes.
It calls for communion. It calls for studying God's word. You got to study it. We got to know it. It calls for living a sanctified life.
Yes.
Getting involved. How about worshiping God with other believers? Yeah, even in the middle of a pandemic.
Yep. Amen.
And you know what? If you want to come and bring your mask, that's fine. I'll wear it with you. I got no problem. I don't care. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I don't have to shake your hand. I can do this. I like that. You know? You do the elbow, I do the elbow too. It's not a problem. But we need to be worshiping together.
Amen.
If we want this revival.
Yes.
This revival isn't going to come by ourselves. It's going to take us not only worshiping God with your brothers, but it's also going to take you backing your pastors and the work for Christ.
Yeah.
God has given us good pastors.
Yeah.
I love my pastors. Are they 100%, you know, right all the time? Not on your life. I'm not going to tell them that. I'll let God tell them that. You know, they have somebody to answer to, not me. But I love my pastors.
Amen.
I pray for my pastors.
That's right.
I want to be taught by my pastors. You know, it really bummed me out when Bill canceled his meeting on Thursday. Me and Matt were talking about right coming up. We said, man, we're going to be here in that fire chat. Whatever. What do you call that?
Sure.
Okay, there it is. The I'm not sure meeting on Thursday night. I was like, man, we're going to be in that. That's cool. And then he goes and cancels it. Oh, well, whatever. We listen to it. We listen to it online. I love it. I love learning. Sometimes it doesn't always stick with me, but I like learning. We need to back our pastors. What are you going to do about your condition? Are you thirsty? What are you going to do about it? This week is going to go by fast. Sorry if I took a little bit too long, but I tried to stay with the order, but oh well. What are you going to do about it?
Amen.
You want a revival? You're the only one it's going to get in the way. It's going to cost you, but you're the only one that can do it. And the great thing about this is God is saying, I hear you. I'm here. I'm hearing you. And I'll give it to you. Do you want it?
Amen. Praise the Lord.